This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program encourages you and challenges you. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. This program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. My website again is bdcministries.com, and my postal address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Now, we've been covering some of the important people that are included in our Bibles, people that in my mind have at least gotten my attention. And we've been going through the judges recently, and we covered Gideon, and we've covered Samuel, or we're going to cover Samuel. The last one that we covered was Samson. And between the 12th judge, Samson, and Samuel, who becomes the last judge and a prophet that precedes the kings, and who really was used of God to establish the kingdom. Between those two points, we have the story of a woman by the name of Ruth. And I want to spend a little time thinking about Ruth today. Many times when we preach the gospel and when we minister the word of God, it appears that we have very little interest in women, or that God had very little interest in women, or that he doesn't use women. But Ruth is an example of a foreigner, a Moabite woman, who converted to the true worship of Jehovah, and who then became a part of the lineage of David, and thus the lineage of the Lord Jesus. And so she's an example of one who was faithful to Jehovah. And I look at her, and the question I raise when I look at the book of Ruth is, what did Ruth see in her mother-in-law that convinced her to follow her mother-in-law back into Israel and to become a true worshiper of Jehovah? She was a true worshiper of Jehovah before she went back, but what convinced her that Naomi had something that the pagan gods of the Moabites did not have? Now, I want to look at Ruth 1, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." Now again, we look at Old Testament stories literally, and we look at Old Testament stories allegorically. So if Ruth is a picture of what a Christian ought to be, and if the land is a spiritual land, then if there's a famine in the land, it appears that the word of God is not being ministered properly to the people of God, and they're not really enjoying the teaching that would be associated with the bread of life that we read about in the New Testament, that is, with the Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life. So we often find that there are famines, and when there are famines, when there's a lack of good spiritual food, we go looking for help in places where perhaps we don't really belong. So there was a man of Bethlehem, Judah, who went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. So they had come from Bethlehem, out of the province of Judah, or the tribe of Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Orpah went back to Moab and her gods, but Naomi did not. And what happened was that while they were in Moab trying to avoid the famine, first Naomi loses her husband. And then her two children marry, and she loses her two children. So now she's alone with two daughters-in-law. And one of those daughters-in-law went back to Moab and her gods. Actually, Naomi suggested or encouraged her to go back to her land and to her gods. But Ruth was different. And Ruth says this in verses 16 and 17. She says, "Entreat me not to leave you," when Ruth tells her she should go back to her own people and her own gods. "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people," and here it is, "and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." And so what's interesting as we look at this story is that Naomi had had the same experience as her, as Orpah, who went back to Moab. They both had had the same experiences. They both had had perhaps the same relationship with Naomi. They had seen what had happened to Naomi. And from the way the story reads, one could assume that there could be resentment against the God of Naomi because he had taken Naomi's husband and her two sons while she was in Moab. Moab was a place where really the children of Israel should not have gone. Although David himself found it a place of refuge when he was fleeing from Saul, so I have to be careful when I say that. But Moab was really a close relative through Lot of the children of Israel. And so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the fathers of the Israelites, but Abraham had a nephew, Lot, who, if you remember, fled from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and through him, Moab was produced, and Moab was always, it seemed like, an enemy of the children of Israel. Moabites were not supposed to enter into the congregation of the Lord until the 10th generation, so the Lord did not look favorably upon the Moabites, and they were not people who were looked at as true worshipers of Jehovah. But yet that's where Elimelech and Naomi went to get food during this famine. And so the first lesson we learn is that sometimes when there's a famine, we tend to go to the wrong place for food that does not properly nourish us. But nevertheless, both of these daughters-in-law saw the same thing, and yet Orpah wanted to go back and become a part of Moab and her people and her gods. And it actually says Ruth told her to go back to her gods. But now we have this woman by the name of Ruth who is faithful to the Lord. And I keep asking myself, what did she see that Orpah never saw? What did she see in Naomi? And I can't answer that. I just know that when we look at our experiences in life, we often visualize them in different ways. But there was something about Naomi, there was something about the God that she worshipped that appealed to Ruth. And Ruth wanted to go back with Naomi when Naomi found out that there was, in fact, food back in the land. And now, when she goes back, she is forced to go out and reap, or actually she gleaned food for her and Naomi in the fields where they were reaping the harvest at that time, and she ends up in the field of a man by the name of Boaz. And Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, and he's a picture of Christ, and Ruth is a picture of the New Testament bride, a foreigner who has been redeemed. And so we find out after she has been gleaning in his field, she realizes that she has found grace. And she says in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 10, "So she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him," that is to Boaz, "Why have I found favor or grace in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" And those of us who are saved can say the same thing. We don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve the favor of God. We've sinned against God. And Naomi and Ruth and Orpah, all the people in this story have all been involved in sin in some way. We know that. That's not what the story says, but we know that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when Ruth comes back into the land. She knows she's a stranger. She's an immigrant. It's like she's standing in Mexico, crossing the line into the United States, knowing that it's only by the grace of God that she's going to become, that the immigration people are going to consider her in a favorable way and bless her. And so she knows that she is finding grace. She's not getting something that she's earned or deserved, but she's getting grace. And we can, of course, be reminded of that song, Can We Not, that we all sing, but probably don't really believe or understand, where John Newton says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." And he understood that it really wasn't grace that saved him. It was the grace of God that saved him. It's Christ that saves. But he's saying he was a foreigner. He didn't deserve the salvation that he obtained. And we can all say that when we trust Christ, we obtain a gift that we don't really deserve. So why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, seeing I am a stranger? And as the story unfolds, she stays with this man by the name of Boaz, who then goes and redeems her and redeems Naomi's property, which has been sold to others and was supposed to stay in her bloodline. He redeems her. Another could have redeemed her, but wouldn't. And we find that all the time. People think they can save others when they can't. But Boaz was the one who pictures Christ, who could redeem her, and he did redeem her. And he brought her. And then after he redeemed her, he married her. And we find out that in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 21, Salmon begat Boaz, Boaz begat Obed, Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begot David. And then if we follow through the lineage of the Lord, we find out that the Lord Jesus was the son of David. So this foreigner who loved the Lord and who saw something that Orpah didn't see, believed in the Jehovah that she knew, and was blessed by a kinsman redeemer who speaks of Christ, and becomes one of the women who is really a mother of the Lord Jesus. When I say mother, of course, I'm talking about a mother in a very generic way. And I just want you to read this passage and realize that no matter what your circumstances, worshiping Jehovah not only blesses in salvation, but it blesses us when it comes to the matter of blessing in this life. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless what we've talked about this morning. Bless this meditation on Ruth. We thank Thee for Thy love. We thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee for Thy Word. And we commit the program to Thee, praying for those who are listening today. In our Savior's name, amen.